Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Battleground Podcast. This is a podcast all about professional wrestling. Join Battle and Eli as they break down what's going on in the world of professional wrestling with special guests including some of your favorite wrestling superstars. You never know who's gonna stop by. Now making their way to the microphone, give it up for the greatest podcast team in the world, Battle and Eli.
Turn around every now and then.
This is a great time because, we're finally back together on the podcast today, man.
I know. It's been organized chaos. I want to go ahead and just do this right off the bat. I want to give a shout out to KB and Lena. But 2 months ago, work got super crazy for me and my anxiety flared up. And I just couldn't deal. And I kind of retreated and, I told Battle and KB and Lena, I was like, look, I can't deal with this right now. Them two specifically have picked up the slack and what they're doing with their women's creator series and the round tables and all that kind of stuff has been excellent. That's exactly what Battle and I wanted with the show. We wanted more of a female voice and it's more authentic coming from females, obviously. So we didn't want to do that. Obviously.
Right. I mean, we could talk about women's wrestling, but it's way much better coming from a female perspective than just two dudes talking about women's wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, there's thousands of podcasts out there with two dudes or multiple dudes giving their opinion. So we wanted it from the real deal. And obviously, women performers mean more to women generally speaking than if, me just talking about Charlotte or whatever. Also Battle, thank you for picking up the slack. You've been doing all the social media posts and booking all the guests and, good news is I do feel a lot better. And so I hope maybe getting back on a regular schedule with the show and stuff will really kind of help my mental health. So, but anyways, just a kudos to the rest of the team for that. So
yeah, and we're glad that we're now kind of in the normal stage. And me and you've had conversations off topic from the show, and we're all glad that things are getting back better for you. And now that things are kind of we're slowing down and we're kind of hitting that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everybody's starting to kind of get comfortable with the new normal and. Most people, are when they're going out wearing masks and 6 feet and all that. A lot of people aren't, which is unfortunate. But I think everyone, yeah, whatever you want to do. So, I will wear a mask out of respect for you. But anyways,
which by the way, Pro Wrestling Tees has some awesome face masks.
Yes, dropped. Yeah. And we're not endorsed by them or anything. We're just fans. So, they have some really, really awesome wrestling masks. I was looking at the CM Punk one for sure, but they had about four.
The Papa Shango one is pretty
cool. Papa Shango one's really good. Yeah. I was like, damn. So, yeah.
And then I think somebody created one for Bray Wyatt that's just the bottom of the Fiend mask. And I don't know if WWE is trying to make those or not.
I saw that and I couldn't tell if that was a real thing or if it was just a, how people do mock-ups. I couldn't tell what that was, but I was like, well, that's awesome.
You look at this right now with like everybody having to wear face mask, like people in the like horror industry should make tons of money off of doing this.
I've seen the Shining.
Did the Jason mask, like he was selling the bottom half of a Jason mask.
Right, I saw that. Yeah. I think I saw that post. It was actually another guy making it, but he just reposted it. But obviously, if you have Tom Savini putting his stamp on it, it's really good. But I went to his Twitter thing, and he's like 8 weeks backed up now. So I think most of it will be clear up by now.
I need to see a Hannibal Lecter one. Like, why haven't I seen one yet? That's the perfect half mask.
I've seen somebody did. Well, I saw The Shining, and I've seen like Freddy, and that kind of stuff. And then I saw somebody had like a Boba Fett one, it looked like plastic. Like it looked like a piece of a cosplay thing, but I think it was just a cloth mask or something. But yeah, there's some cool stuff out there. I think Pro Wrestling Tees had the, they were the ones that had the Macho Man one, because I think they had the two versions. I think they had the one that was the black and white that said Madness, and then I think they had another one. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool things, a lot of cool masks out there. I got my mask off Etsy. They're just generic black ones that you can put a filter in. And but tons of cool Vistaprint's doing them now. Caseify, tons of companies kind of stepping up. There's even a company that makes scrubs for nurses and doctors, and they've made face masks out of the scrub material. So.
Man, that's awesome. And you know, a lot of people are adapting to this time and change. And, you know, especially for those that are like indie wrestlers, they're realizing that, you know, they're not wrestling right now, so they could take their merch and, you know, make face masks or mm-hmm. make this and make that and, you know, make money off of it. Not making money as because it's a way to be like, oh, you need a face mask? Well, how about buy one of, you know, with me on it?
Yep.
It's just, you know, it's adapting with the time and getting your brand out there.
I agree. Yeah, it's been an adjustment for everyone.
I'm looking at Pro Wrestling Tees, and there's like a Britt Baker one. Darby Allin's is sold out. There is Pentagon.
Ooh, nice.
There's a villain mask of Marty. There's Colt Cabana of his face. There's some really cool ones on here. So anyways, now that we're kind of getting back in the swing of things,
we're rusty. We just went off on a tangent on current events. So
that's the best thing about this show is you never know how it's going to start off, but eventually we get back on the course of talking about wrestling. And of course, you know, wrestling is a very interesting time at the moment. You have AEW being the trendsetter, which, you know, putting the wrestlers in the crowd. And I want to say that they're starting to maybe put fans in the crowd, but then I saw something about like, that's just like production crew and family and,
yeah,
you know, behind the scenes people.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done an amazing job.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, them and NXT and, you know, SmackDown and Raw, I think AEW is handling the empty arena the best. I'll be honest with you. I really haven't watched much WWE. I'm trying to think of the last thing. I watched a few things from WrestleMania. I watched the Undertaker match, and I watched the Bray Wyatt John Cena match. But I didn't watch most of it. But anyways, I don't think I've watched since whatever they were calling it, Black Wednesday, when they fired all those people. And, you know, and then shortly after that, you started hearing about all these rumblings about Vince with the XFL and how he's screwing Oliver Luck. And he's trying to like file for bankruptcy and then buy it back for pennies on the dollar. Like, just, you know. If you're not aware by now that Vince is shady, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, there's books, you know, out there written about it and all that stuff. So I personally have not been invested in their product in a really long time. But, you know, out of the AEW stuff that I've seen, I've really enjoyed it. They've done the best that they can with no crowd. And I don't really feel like I'm missing the crowd much. Like when I flipped over to Raw or NXT or something, it's kind of like, God, this looks weird. And I don't know what the difference is, but there's something that's just, there's a line in the sand, and the AEW is just gelling better to me. I don't know why than the WWE product is right now.
Yeah. And you know, I've kind of watched, you know, I've been watching wrestling here and there, and sometimes it's background noise, and it's just, you know, watching AEW in the way that, you know, they're like, okay, we have an empty arena. What are we going to do? Because, I mean, WWE was, you know, the mold of showing what the empty arena is going to look like. So they kind of dealt their hands real quick right there and showed everybody, well, this is what we're doing. And it's just very awkward, you know, with WWE and the wrestlers still come out, you know, still trying to play like the crowd's there and then going to both sides of the ramp and just like, just go to the ring. And, you know, the one thing I've noticed the WWE is doing is they're kind of starting to shoot matches like Ring of Honor does, where the camera's facing the ramp, so you don't see the crowds on the side.
Yeah.
Which was a good thing for them because, I mean, it's very awkward watching an empty arena. So then AEW comes in. And it's like, you know what? We're going to put our wrestlers in the crowd. They're already here. We're already testing them for COVID. So it's not like it's, you know, the end of the world for them to be next to each other, right, as long as there's social distancing. And it's been great because you've got like MJF and Sean Spears gambling on the side for different things. You've got Big Swole like talking shit to, you know, Nyla Rose, and, you know, it's getting some of these wrestlers that don't get much screen time, they're getting screen time being in the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really cool to see that. I think like when that started happening is really when like that kind of separated them, because again, you know, AEW doesn't really script what they say. So like, for all we know, MJF and Sean Spears could have just been pulling that out of their butt. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And if WWE did that, they're like, okay, y'all go get in the crowd. Here's your script. You know,
yeah.
And then someone else pointed out about how, I guess on Raw, it was either Raw or SmackDown, but they had them out in the crowd, but they were standing there on concrete for the whole thing. There was no seats. And it's like,
yeah,
that's dumb, you know? So, you know, at least AEW gives them chairs, and if they want to stand, they can't, whatever. So it's just little stuff like that. Like, why would you not put chairs down? Like, that's what it would be like if it was a real show. You know, and like, why would you have your wrestler? I have to stand on concrete for those long periods of time, and it's not fun. So like,
hell no, it's not fun.
Why would you do that to, like, you're forcing them to do this to begin with, and then, you know, whatever. So,
and it's like, you know, you sit there and like, so WWE finally kind of realized, hey, maybe we should start utilizing talent and put them in the crowd, because they saw how AEW was making it more energetic. Because like, when I'm watching AEW on Wednesday nights and they had the wrestlers in the crowd, that kind of took my mind off of, oh, well, they're wrestling in an empty arena. Mm-hmm. You know, this is very awkward that you can hear the and whatever, as weird as that is.
Yeah.
You can hear everything in the ring, and, you know, it's just awkward that you can hear all that stuff. But with AEW, you know, you got like I said, you got Big Swole, like, you know, talking shit to Nyla Rose during the match, or you've got MJF talking stuff, and, you know, it takes your mind off the fact that there's nobody there, but it's funny because it's the wrestler sitting there. Cause you've got like Billy Gunn and his son there, and Sonny Kiss, and all these people are there being a fan of what they love to do.
Yeah. And I think it's, yeah, I think what you said kind of nailed it. Like, it, you know, letting their personality shine outside the ring. It almost to me was like we were watching like a top secret, you know, like not a practice or something, but like we were in on this event that like wasn't really supposed to be for the public or so. You know what I mean? So it's almost right. Like a kind of a cool top secret kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, seeing how they react and stuff, it definitely kind of adds to it. And I think that's been the biggest disconnect, is that WWE can't find a way to do that. So,
yeah. And so now they put, you know, they put the performance center talent in the crowd. But the weird thing is, this is the plexiglass. It's like, what's the plexiglass there for? I'm just waiting for somebody to get thrown through it, 'cause you know, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, I see it when like they take down the restrictions, or they do a normal show, they'll still put those up, and then someone will, you know, run their head through it or something.
And it's like, you know, if this is the new normal and they start letting people back to wrestling, are they going to start putting those up at, you know, shows? Like, are we going to have that kind of hockey barrier?
Maybe
that's the question, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it at Target and Walmart and all over, so maybe.
But it's just, you know, AEW is just, and I sit here and watch social media about it, and it's like you could see more and more people leaving the WWE brand and heading towards AEW or, you know, Impact, because Impact's doing an amazing job with the no crowd arena, and especially the fact that Moose is the TNA champion and brought back the, I guess what we would like to call their big gold of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that Sports Illustrated did an article about it is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I mean, it kind of had to be done, I guess. And then yeah, I mean, that was a really cool looking belt that they had, and I think it sets up some interesting storylines, and then you can unify it, you know. So yeah, I thought that was cool. And then, you know, I think a lot of people have been kind of waiting for Moose to turn that corner, you know. And you know, he's always kind of been in that you know, kind of the Intercontinental level, you know, that B mid level card, yeah. mid card. Yeah. But I think a lot of people are seeing now that he could be a top guy, you know, with, I mean, he's got the mic skills, he's got the ring skills, he's got the look, like, so yeah, I think this is awesome. I think it'll be a cool, cool way to get some different storylines and stuff.
Yeah, and it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, when things come back, like what happens. Do they, you know, do they still keep that championship? Do they do like some unified thing where him and Tessa Blanchard have a storyline? You know, there's many things you could do now that you've brought in that title. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Impact for that, and Moose just stepping up and being like, look, it's my time to shine. Let's go.
Yeah. The other thing I guess we can talk about real quick with Impact, the Virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo, who was recently released from NXT,
which was stupid on NXT's part.
Yeah. She signed with Impact. So yeah. You know, Impact's women's roster is killer, and they obviously keep adding to it. So yeah, that's a pretty good pickup for them. You know, I think a lot of people assumed it would either be AEW or even Ring of Honor because she's dating Marty, but I think she had done something with Impact. When I just Googled for the story about her signing down a little bit, there's a video posted from December of 2019. It's her against Laurel Van Ness, at the US Explosion, which was Impact Wrestling. So, I don't know. So that was updated. I mean, she was in NXT then. So that must be an old match, but anyways, I mean, there's an old match uploaded to Impact's, YouTube page in December with her on there. So she's done something with him in the past, but,
yeah. And I mean, that's a huge get for Impact, because you know, some people are thinking, you know, how awesome it would have been a match with her and Charlotte, or her and Becky. And, mm-hmm. you know, now we can't see very many matches with Becky because she's now going to be a mom, her and Seth Rollins. And, you know, what does the landscape look like for that women's division? Because, you know, Becky was kind of carrying the women's division, but Asuka's now the champion, which I think is the perfect person to have as your champion, especially with how great that they just said, you know what, here's a microphone, just go out there and do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
don't try to speak English. Just go have fun.
And it was like, cause I know her and Chelsea both fought on Raw, like around Christmas. Cause like Chelsea fought Charlotte, and then Deonna, did she fight Asuka?
I think so. Because I want to say that was that around the time that everybody got stranded?
I can't remember. I think it was just after that Raw that we went to at the beginning of December. I think it was like right after that, but I don't know. But they just, yeah, they had these random NXT, or it was around Survivor Series, because they were doing all the NXT versus SmackDown versus Raw stuff. So they came up and were like, cool, I guess they're coming up. But it was just like they came up for those one matches, and then they were, you know, back, and then Deonna got let go. So,
yeah, I mean, man, they're going to regret that one. But one thing that WWE is not regretting, and this is a great transition, they have now eliminated one wrestling move, which I joked around and said that will save half the women's division. WWE announced they are getting rid of the turnbuckle powerbomb.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, it cost Sting his career, and it's saving, you know, the women's division, because I know that was in Nia Jax's repertoire, and you know, she really hurt Kairi Sane doing it. And you know, there was reports of like, you know, Kyrie Sane getting injured by Nia Jax, but I don't think that was part of the turnbuckle powerbomb. But regardless, it's a good thing because, I mean, if done wrong, you're putting somebody out.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there's other moves because, I mean, if you think about it, Seth injured Finn and caused him to drop the Universal title the night after he won it. And there's no telling where we would be now if that hadn't happened, because Vince actually put his faith in somebody that wasn't Roman and wasn't Brock, you know?
That wasn't a big, swole guy that wasn't your typical...
No. I mean, in that tournament leading up to that, Finn beat Roman Reigns clean. So, I mean, he obviously had, you know, put some faith in him, and then, you know, that move went wrong and he hurt his shoulder and that was it. And then obviously with Sting, hurt his neck, he had to retire. So, you know, and I would put, you know, I would get in the ring with Seth over Nia a million times over a million, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's far more of a safer worker than she is. So I just think that in general, there's some moves that just don't need to be done. And that one, I've never really liked that move anyway. It's just kind of, I don't know. So, you know, if it's not going to be used anymore, that I think that's kind of the best call in the long run.
Yeah, it could, like you said, you know, people's careers got injured, you know, people's careers got altered because of it, and it's a good thing that it's getting taken out of the repertoire. And I'm just glad that that move is gone. I mean, chances are it'll probably come back. I mean, they gave Seth his curb stomp back, but you know, for the time being, it's gone. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Do we want to mention the Jeff Hardy thing? Because I think that's the last.
Oh my gosh!
To talk about with Mr. Vince.
This is probably one of the worst things you could do with wrestling, and the Twitter sphere and social media literally went off. So Friday night on SmackDown, they were doing a thing and they opened it up like with a breaking news thing, and it shows Elias laying there on the floor and a car with the hood popped. Like I didn't think there was any damage to the car or anything, but they were looking in the car and there was a bottle of whiskey in there, and they found out that the car was, you know, registered to Jeff Hardy. So the cops were looking for Jeff Hardy, and then they found him inebriated, you know, in an alleyway. And he was like, I don't know what's going on. And as most people know, Jeff Hardy has been battling addictions his career, and he just, you know, got sober. And then they come to this, and it's like, you know what, Jeff, we're going to do a storyline where you're getting, you know, I say this as framed that, you know, you're going to get drunk and you're going to hit a wrestler, and we're going to find you inebriated.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out very well when you go with real life stories.
Well, and when we talked about this when we interviewed the Road Warrior Animal, and, you know, they did the same thing 20 years ago, Hawk. And what happened like 3 years later, he was dead, you know? And it's just like, you know, a lot of people, obviously the Attitude Era was incredible and, you know, reached new heights, and you had some of the biggest stars that have ever been in the ring, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it hasn't aged well. I mean, there was a lot of bad crap that went on during the Attitude Era. And it's like every so often Vince tries to dip his toes back in there, you know, like, let's do this again. And it's like, bro, he just got arrested. He got arrested like twice last year for DUIs. He was off TV. Like, I mean, this is like real stuff right now, you know,
like mugshot everywhere. TMZ picked it up.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and you know, obviously Matt Hardy's like, I just want to clarify, I'm happy with AEW. Like, well, yeah, no shit. You dodged a bullet there. So,
and then Matt's wife was like, I'm throwing away my TV.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I just think it's just stupid. I mean, I think there are some things that you can incorporate that's real, like, you know, Brock being in UFC and him coming over and still wearing those trunks and having the sponsors on there. Okay, that's harmless. That's fine. That makes perfect sense. But to go after, like, that would be like going after a woman who had a miscarriage and then turning it into a, I guess you lost your baby. I guess you're not a real woman. Like, just something just tone deaf and inappropriate. And I don't know. It's
well, and like you said, I mean, Vince loves to go to that well. Like, you know, they've done this before with Jeff Hardy, because I went back and watched, and like Samoa Joe, when he was doing that storyline, like he brought in real life stuff and to Jeff Hardy. It's like, oh, you want another drink, Jeff? Blah, 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 blah. And then kind of like you go a little further and you do the Chris Jericho and CM Punk storyline, where Jericho, you know, poured all that alcohol over CM Punk and made him, you know, talk about him being straight edge and all that stuff. And then you go further back, like you said, when we talked to Animal, where they try to do that thing with Hawk. Like, I mean, it's rough. Like, you don't want to bring in real life stuff into the story, because we already know that Jeff has battled addictions. I mean, we've all seen the him and Sting match. Like,
yeah,
you know, we all know that Jeff has battled that, but we all know that Jeff has come back, gotten sober, and, you know, being big fans of Jeff. Like, kudos to him for getting clean. But, you know, at what point does Jeff say, you know what, I don't really feel comfortable with, you know, you saying that I'm, you know, I fell off and I, you know, I relapsed.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, everyone has a short rope with Vince. So if Vince comes to you and like, hey, here's the story we're doing, and you're like, eh, then that's it. Like, you're going to be a main event. I'm talking about the WWE show, WWE main event or WWE superstar.
Oh yeah.
Dark match.
Saturday like, morning.
You're done. Like, you're not, I mean, and I think, you know, they added 6 months to his contract, which is why Matt was able to leave now, because of all the time that he was off and everything. But I don't know. Somebody on Twitter made a comment about this, and the more I think about it, the more it makes sense and also pisses me off. So if you happen to have posted this and you happen to listen to our show and you happen to be listening to this episode, I don't remember who it was that posted this, so I'm not taking credit for it. I just don't remember, but it was spot on. So congrats to that. But, so go back to the new SmackDown, and we have the very first show on Fox, and they want to pull out all the stops. Brock versus Kofi for the title. Brock comes out, squashes Kofi in 10 seconds. That's it. And then Kane Velasquez comes out. Oh gosh, here we go. And then they have that really, really crappy match at that pay-per-view. Well, I think that was Saudi Arabia, right?
Mm-hmm. Tapped him out.
Yeah. And then fast forward to April, and they released Kane. So long story short, they didn't have to do that to Kofi. That whole thing made no sense whatsoever. It was a complete waste of time. And if that doesn't kind of give you the Vince McMahon booking in a nutshell, I don't know what it is. I mean, one of the most, you know, not only from a heartwarming standpoint, but also, I mean, even just, you know, in reflection to what's going on now with all the protests and stuff around the country. I mean, Kofi was the story of 2019, and to have him get squashed by your part-timer to set up a story that ends up with one match and that's it. That's really fucking stupid. So, so when, you know, I wasn't watching SmackDown, obviously I don't even have Fox on my TV lineup, so there's no way I can, but you're texting me about it, and I hopped on Twitter and stuff, and I was just like, why am I not surprised they're doing this again, you know?
Yeah, and like you said about the whole Kofi thing, like, it was a big ordeal, like, so much big ordeal with, you know, with the recent passing of Shad. There's been videos circulating around of him and MVP sitting there watching Kofi win the championship and crying and being all emotional, because, you know, you don't see WWE giving, you know, minorities the big title.
No, not very often.
You don't see that very often. If they are, I mean, look at Apollo Crews. It's been what, 6, 11 years, whatever, and he just now got a title.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I just think they underestimate how much this stuff means to people, you know, and you know, like, you know, the stuff goes beyond choreographed moves, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, another stupid idea from WWE.
Yeah, and absolutely nuts. But we can kind of transition to AEW because this can kind of be the final topic on today's show. So AEW just had Double or Nothing pay-per-view. I watched it. I've never bought a pay-per-view. I bought it, which was weird because being a WWE Network holder, it was like, can I justify paying like $50 for this? And I was like, you know what? Let me just do it. Just, you know, see what it is. And I got to say, like, the pay-per-view was amazing. Of course, you know, the Casino Royal, absolutely great. There, I was sitting there and it was like, you know, me and you had been going back and forth trying to figure out, okay, what's going to happen? Like, here's this ninth surprise entrance and there's so many people gone. So it was like, is it going to be Rusev? Is it going to be the recently free agent Ricky Starks? Is it going to be Zack Ryder? Is it, you know, there's so many people that popped up. And so, you know, we're sitting there and of course there's also a Brian Cage thing. And then all of a sudden it's like the Path of Cage, blah, blah, blah. And Taz comes walking out. I was like, what the hell is this? Like, you know, and then here comes Brian Cage. And I'm like, okay, perfect pairing for these two.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Cage is actually pretty decent on the mic. So I don't know why they stuck Taz with him, because I've actually enjoyed Taz when he does the commentating.
Yeah. And, you know, and maybe like we had that conversation, maybe he's going to do commentating when he's not with Brian Cage, but maybe he's kind of like, you know, a Paul Heyman and he just antagonizes everything. And it's like, well, Brian Cage could kill him, blah, 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 but still throw in his commentary.
Well, and it could have been, that could have been Taz's idea too. Like, hey, you know, let me be a mouthpiece for somebody. Let me be a manager. You know, I want to be more involved than just commentating. And so maybe that was the compromise. They're like, okay, well, how about we put you with Cage? He'll be here Double or Nothing. So we don't really know, but I will say that specific match, so, and I don't mean this disrespectfully. I'm just saying it at face value. So none of the contestants like really struck me as like a world champion. And I love pretty much everyone on that list. Orange Cassidy, Joey Janela, Luchasaurus, Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian, Kip Sabian, Darby Allin, Colt Cabana. They're all awesome. You know, Colt's a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian, the first AEW World Tag Team Champions. We got to see those belts. They're gorgeous. Orange Cassidy, maybe the most over guy in the company.
But not world champion material yet.
Yeah, not quite there. He's had, what, two matches, three matches?
Yeah.
Janela, I don't know if they're going to put that kind of confidence in him. You know, it was cool that he stepped in at the last minute for that spot. But, you know, I could definitely see him being the TNT champ. But, like, I don't know about the world. Luchasaurus probably was the closest one I could see them putting the belt on, you know. Maybe Darby Allin, but again, I think he looks more of like a TNT champion to me.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that match at face value, like you said, if Brian Cage wasn't in there, I would have picked either Darby or Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
I would have much rather seen Darby and Dean Ambrose again, but,
John Moxley.
Oh, yeah, John Moxley. Sorry, breaking the fourth wall over here.
I think you and I both were like, we think whoever the mystery person is probably going to win. So obviously when you have Brian Cage come out, who was incredible in Lucha Underground, he was incredible in Impact. He was the world champion when we saw him, I think, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He'd already beaten Johnny Impact or something.
No. He wasn't the champion. Johnny Impact was the champion because
he lost. That's right. He lost at that pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Impact or Johnny Mundo Impact Wrestling, whatever. He had his castmates from Survivor in there and they, you know, interfered and cost Brian Cage a match, but then later down the road, Brian Cage finally got the title.
Yeah, because I think the next night at the TV taping, I think that's when Killer Cross came out.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So he wasn't the champ, but he won it not long after, and then he dropped it to Sammy. So, but that'll be a big get for them, man. He's a big dude, powerful, but he can move. He'll surprise you with his speed, you know, with some of the stuff he can do. Again, you know, not the best Tarkin in the world, but he can work the stick. So like, I think it'll be cool that he has Taz just cause Taz is a legend, obviously, but yeah.
And now we can finally see the match that has been surfacing on the internet of just photos of Brian Cage and Kenny Omega squaring off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's cool too, that it's just like, this is not a WWE guy, you know, it's like, they are getting the best of the best. And if that involves, you know, Impact or NWA or Ring of Honor or whatever, like, you know, the door's open for all these guys. It's not just a path for just WWE guys, which, you know, they're definitely trying not to get that perception, but there are a ton of former WWE guys on the roster right now. So,
right. And, I mean, they're doing all the right moves and, you know, just kind of fast forwarding through Nyla Rose, drop the title.
That was surprising.
I thought so too, but I really like Sheeta.
I do like Sheeta too. She was one of my favorites kind of like right out of the gate. I don't know. To me, I almost would have booked Nyla as like a Brock, like put the belt on her for 400 days, whatever. And then, you know, a year from now, finally have that payoff. And then, you know, you kind of build to this, you know, whatever. So I just thought that the thing that's been kind of weird is just like, you know, as soon as we haven't seen a lot of like rematches. And so like when Riho lost the belt to Nyla Rose, that was it. I don't even remember the last time I saw her, to be honest with you.
I think she did like an AEW dark, but I think she flew back overseas. Okay.
Well, that would explain it. But I mean, we didn't get any kind of follow up with that. And then now that Nyla dropped it, I mean, what is she gone? And then, you know, same thing. When Jericho dropped to Moxley, there really hasn't been a one-on-one rematch. And, you know, when, Omega and Hangman won the tag titles, they haven't got a rematch. So it's been kind of weird. I don't know if it's just maybe we're preconditioned to WWE. So
automatic rematch.
Yeah. After. You know, they'll do, I know there's one year where Cena and Orton was the main event, like 7 pay-per-views out of 12 or something, you know, like they just kept on and kept on and kept on. And, so maybe this is like by design. Maybe they're like, you know, with the rankings and stuff, they're like, well, you lost, you're at the bottom of the list now. And maybe that's what they're doing or something. But
I think Cody did say something about that in an interview. It's like, the reason why they have the ranking system is like, you know, you get a title shot, you lose that title shot, you're back at the bottom and the next person's up.
Yeah,
I think. But it's like, you look at it now and it's like, okay, who's the person that Mox is going to drop to? Cause he didn't drop it to Jericho. Or he won it from Jericho, but he didn't. Who did he fight?
Jeff Cobb, Hager. He fought. Has he already? Did he fight Lance Archer? I don't think. No, that was
in New Japan. No, that was New Japan. Yeah. I thought that Moxley did put the title up against Jericho again, but he beat Jericho. I thought it was at the last pay per view.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
And then, you know, and then he didn't drop it to Brody Lee.
And it's they did a good job with that. They both looked very good in that match. And then having him get put to sleep, he loses without tapping out. So I thought that was a good.
Right.
You know, I thought it was a little quick to give Brody Lee the title, but I also thought it was a little quick for him to lose a big match like that. So,
right. And it's, you know, flip the coin the other side. It's like too soon for him to win the title.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's weird. And then, there was one other one I wanted to at least mention, the,
Stadium Stampede match.
Well, that's the big one. But MJF and Jungle Boy was solid.
The TNT title,
Cody versus Lance Archer for the TNT championship, arguably still the worst belt on. Behind the 24/7.
What makes it kind of like, I'm not taking anything away from AEW, but what kind of drops him down and just a little bit of credibility, not a lot, but just a little bit, was you get on there, you show the belt, and then I think Tony Schiavone came on and said, well, the belt's not finished. And yeah. I was like, do you really want to show the product? I get that it's the match and you want to show the product, but
they could have just, they could have waited until a Dynamite and said, okay, the presentation of the new TNT,
right. You know,
anything like that. I don't know. Really, the only thing I have an issue with, and it's not even like, you know, obviously enough to like stop watching or anything, but the AEW names, I don't like. I don't like the name Dynamite. I don't like the name Double or Nothing. I don't like the name All In, All Out. I don't like that stuff. I don't like the TNT belt name, you know.
Like the next event is Fighter Fest.
Fighter Fest. I don't know.
I get that from being Fire Festival, but now everybody's kind of forgotten about Fire Festival.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't like some of their terms or their buzzwords or how they label things. So I don't like the TNT belt, which you pointed out. It could be one of those things where, you know, maybe that's what Tony Khan did to sweeten the deal. Like, well, you know what? If we get a deal in place, the mid card will be named the TNT title.
Right. And they just linked that new TV deal. So that could have been,
part of
bargaining chips.
Yeah. So we hate it, but you know, that could have been what got them two or three more years on the air or whatever. So,
and I've been seeing mock-ups of like, there's going to be some gold added to it and this, that, and the other. And
yeah,
you know,
well, I think we're a little bit more critical because we like belts, like we're actively belt collectors. Yeah. And so when there's rumblings of a new belt, we're like, yes. And so like when NWA brought back the TV title, I know personally, I was on cloud nine. I was like, holy shit, this is one of my favorite belts of all time. They're bringing it back. I love it.
And they kept it looking just like it was.
Yeah. I would have preferred the red leather instead of the black. That's fine. You know, we'll go with the Tully version instead of the Arn Anderson version. No big deal. But, you know, when we hear we're finally getting this mid-card belt, which the Bucks and Cody didn't really want to talk about when we talked to them, I think back in November, but you know, we knew it was coming. There had to be something else for people to fight for. So we were really excited. The AEW, the tag belts are awesome. The women's belt's awesome. The world title is awesome. I mean, we were really excited, and it just, I think you mentioned it was one of, it almost looked like one of those like laser engraved things you can get from like a trophy company or something, you know, just the,
it's no pun intended to the red belt, but it's the redheaded stepchild belt.
Yeah.
So maybe, and you know, the belt maker came out and was like, hey, look, due to COVID-19, I haven't been able to outsource this and this and this. And I completely get that. So maybe there's more to this belt and that's just like a placeholder belt. But until we see Tony Schiavone or Cody or JR say, here's the fully produced belt, it's kind of got an asterisk next to it in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll judge it when it's fully revealed, you know, but as of now, very underwhelming. So
yeah, and the first challenger for it is Jungle Boy on Wednesday night.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember seeing that now.
But the cool thing though about this belt, and Cody actually sent out a thing that I guess somebody asked him, you know, can anybody challenge for the belt regardless of whatever promotion they're in? And Cody just responded, yes. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, is this going to be their step in the water of partnering up with New Japan or partnering up with Ring of Honor or this, that, and the other? Because, I mean, in an interview, Marty did say that he would be open to working with AEW and vice versa.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So.
Do we see that like the NWA title where it can be defended anywhere?
I mean, I'd rather it be the world title. It sounds weird to, you know, go into town to defend a mid card, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know, like the perception and going back to the, you know, 20s and 30s and 40s with when like the NWA first started and territories and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you would take the world heavyweight title to a town and fight somebody and prove that you were the best in the world. So if you take the TNT title, what are you doing? Proving you're the second best in the world.
Right.
So,
because I mean, that was the big draw. Like when you would have, you know, a Flair or, you know, a Steamboat or whatever.
Dusty Rhodes, Harley Race.
Yeah. That would be the main draw to get them. And, you know, of course the NWA territories, that would be the main draw. It's like Ric Flair defending the NWA World Heavyweight title tonight. And it would be, you know, against Steamboat or whatever, but it was the draw that in, you know, Podunk, Kentucky, that's the draw.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to anybody in Kentucky. I'm just throwing that out there as an example.
Yeah. There are neighbors to the north, so.
Yes. But it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. I was really surprised that Cody did take the belt, especially with him, you know, being the head guy and all this other stuff. But, you know, at least Cody having the belt will make it mean something. Like when he had the Ring of Honor title, you know, he made it mean something, and then the ring and all that other stuff. So he's going to make it mean something, and it's going to be his way of putting over, you know, other people, like making Jungle Boy look good. And I mean, that's the thing. You step in the ring with Cody, Cody's going to make pretty much anybody look good.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing with Cody. But so the TNT Championship, we might see the updated version Wednesday night. Who knows? But the one match that we will talk about last, and we'll talk about it now before we close out the show, but Stadium Stampede match. Like, they went in and not trying to, you know, take away from one of their pay-per-view names, but they went all out on the pay-per-view. No pun intended. For this match, I mean, they announced a Stadium Stampede match, and you're like, what the hell is a Stadium Stampede match going to be? Because I think that's what you even said when I texted to you. I was like, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, I think those were my exact words, was what the hell is a Stadium Stampede?
And like, I kept seeing leaked photos, and it was really cool, the fact that they put the ring in the middle on the 50-yard line of the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium. The teams came out literally like an NFL football team, which, by the way, I need to find out if Pro Wrestling Tees is going to start selling Inner Circle football jerseys, because I would totally buy one.
Yeah. They did a lot of really good stuff with this match. You know, I thought Hangman on the Horse was incredible.
That was amazing.
You know, I think the... yeah, I mean, even the entrances, you know, was cool. I love the way that they tied in the football stuff. So they had some of the, you know, padded pants and, you know, some of the, you know, they're, it was either, I think it was Matt Jackson, but he was throwing the footballs at Jericho and penalty flags, and you had all that stuff. I thought
the Matt Hardy thing was amazing.
Yes. The change in the getting in the, was he in a, it was a pool, right? It was like a
pool. Yeah. So the Jaguar Stadium has a swimming pool, which, by the way, I'm not going to be volunteering to jump into a swimming pool at a football stadium. Let's just be honest. But anyways, I guess that was like the Lake of Reincarnation or whatever, but Santana and Ortiz, which they're hilarious on themselves, because I think one of them was like, I'm not getting in there, I can't swim. But they start drowning Matt Hardy, and they show him underwater, and he goes like to the old Matt Hardy, does the Hardy Boys thing. And every time they pull up, it's a different version of Matt Hardy, which was phenomenal. Like, they brought back Matt Facts, but they were Matter of Facts.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of what they did with Jericho's entrance, where they did all the different incarnations. Yes. Yeah.
And it was great, because I mean, Matt Hardy, you got different versions of Matt Hardy. That was amazing.
And it's like that right there, like that made everyone pop and lose their mind. And I bet you that's something that he pitched to Vince and Vince, no. And it's like,
right.
Why? Like he's the guy that could do it. I think the only other person really that could might be the Undertaker, just cause he's had so many different variations, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that was really good. I thought the Hager and Page at the bar was cool.
The Roadhouse kind of scene.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And Hager pouring up a glass of milk for Omega, who doesn't drink.
Yeah, yeah. Who was it that hit the? Okay, so I guess Matt actually was the one that did the Northern Light suplexes, and then it was Nick who was throwing the footballs at Jericho. I had those backwards.
And then you got. Which one of them? One of them did the moonsault off the goalpost.
Oh, that was, I just had it. Hang on. Crap.
I want to say it was Nick.
Matt climbed a ladder to the crossbar of a goalpost and hit a moonsault. Yep.
Poor Sammy Guevara, though, man. That
he just stays getting pummeled. I mean,
kudos to him. I mean, it's getting him on here. We watched him wrestle at what was the lucha thing at the fair? Was it?
Oh, Era Lucha?
Yes. I saw him wrestle MVP there, and I was like, who's this kid? And that was supposed to be kind of like, going into it, I think that was supposed to be their big draw. That was going to be the main guy. But yeah, I mean, Sammy Guevara he's going to be a champion one day. You can already just go ahead and quote me for this. But I mean, him just taking the brunt of the beating and then him taking the pin, especially that final move off the ramp where players come in, I'm assuming.
Was that the One Wing Angel?
Yes.
Kenny Omega? Yeah.
I mean, that dude takes a beating, but that the whole match was great. And it's, I loved every minute of it. And it, you know, I've talked to several other wrestling fans and they're like, you know, watching that match, like I literally forgot about like the COVID and this and this and this. He's like, for however long that match lasted, I enjoyed it. And that was like, I couldn't stop smiling and laughing and cheering. And I mean, it was a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think them and WWE have both really kind of nailed it with these quote unquote cinematic or thematic matches, you know, with the Undertaker and AJ Styles, and then Bray Wyatt and Cena, both really, really good. And, you know, it could just be this is a result of them not doing stuff live, you know. It could be, which I don't know if Double or Nothing was truly live or pre-taped. I don't really know, but I know WrestleMania was pre-taped. So, like, you know, you can have these awesome kind of events and matches if, you know, if it's pre-taped or whatever. So, but yeah, I thought that was really, you know, I really don't know what else they could have done in that situation. You know, I think they pretty much nailed it across the board. And I guess the last thing to mention about AEW is there was an expected debut that happened this past Wednesday.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
FTR.
Yeah. And the great thing about it was, well, that was the same exact day that Scott Hall showed up at WCW on TNT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I don't want to say poetic, but yeah, that was, we'll say chef's kiss. That was a chef's kiss.
It was fantastic because I was like, because me and you had been talking and you know, in the group chat with the girls, I was like, okay, when are we seeing FTR show up? It's like, okay, they've already been featured in Being the Elite. You know, are they going to show up at Double or Nothing? And I think me and you had kind of had the conversation that one of them was going to be in the mascot costume. And then I was like, okay, when is this happening? Like, it's bound to happen. And then I didn't put two and two together about the Scott Hall coming to WCW until after, like, they appeared and everything. And then I realized, okay, that was the day. Because I remember I posted about Scott Hall joining WCW that day. And then I want to say it was Dash that posted right before their arrival. He was like, hey, yo, and yep, tweeted that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think anything of it when I saw it. And then they pull up in that badass truck, jump out. And I was like, okay, we're finally getting it. FTR in the box. And then they like turn face and beat up Butcher and the Blade, which I haven't seen them in forever.
Yeah. I think everyone kind of assumed they were just going to go just jump out and go right towards the box. I wouldn't be surprised if they're building up to it, you know? So like it may not, you know, it's not like they're going to fight Wednesday or something, but it's like, you know, their big pay-per-view in whatever, November or something. I don't know. But, you know, I think we were, you know, curious where they were going to end up. I think we were kind of optimistic that they might go NWA just because that's their kind of old school mentality. And that is, there's nothing more old school than NWA. But
right.
I don't think NWA's tag team division is really where it needs to be right now to get a tag team of the caliber of FTR, obviously. So I think we both kind of assumed they were going to AEW. I think, I can't remember if you said it or I said it, but I mean, with with them being on, being the elite, like they're not going to do that if you're not involved in their business. Like they're not just going to, you know, go up to Roman Reigns and put him on the show because they know that that's going to, well, shit, is Roman Reigns leaving and going, like, why is he on this program? You know, like there would be no reason to do that. So, you know, they've had a relationship behind the scenes for years now, and they've talked to each other on Twitter and blah, blah, blah. So I think it was kind of a foregone conclusion that that's what they were going to end up. And, you know, you can say what you want to say. You know, their run in WWE was not great, but their run in NXT was phenomenal. I mean, at that point, I would put them tied for the Young Bucks as the best tag team on the planet at that time. I mean, they were their stuff they were doing with American Alpha when they were in NXT was top notch. I mean, it put tag team wrestling back on the map for WWE because they're historically not known for being very tag team friendly, which is funny because they always have a ton of tag team matches. But anyways, so I mean, pretty excited. I thought that was a good kind of the first Dynamite after the pay-per-view kind of have a big surprise. You know, I think everyone was kind of like coming down from the rush of the pay-per-view, and then to have a surprise like that was pretty cool. Obviously tons of awesome tag team matches you can get out of AEW, and they're still a year into their existence. I mean, they've got plenty of time to get more tag teams on board and, you know, even strengthen it even more than they are now.
Yeah. And just, you know, especially with a lot of free agents out there. And of course, there is one soon to be possibly free agent that contract is about up. That is Adam Cole, which we will discuss on next week's episode of how Britt Baker thinks that Adam Cole will be wrestling with the Bucks and the Elite one day soon. And how ironic does she say that, and his contract's almost up?
Plot thickens.
Dun, dun, dun. But you have to come back next week for us to talk about that.
Boom.
So, so we do appreciate you guys being back with us. We're back. We're back to wrestling. We're going to have some guests. The girls are going to have their round tables on Thursday nights, which you can watch on Twitch. Me and Eli might do some Twitch stuff. We're still trying to work out the kinks to that kind of stuff. We're not as tech savvy as Lena and KB with doing the live video twitching yet.
They have the looks and the brains.
We just have the voices. That's all we've got. So make sure you follow along. Twitter, we're Battleground IHR. Instagram, it's Battleground Podcast. I believe we're going to do a contest this week. I'm still getting the things finalized. We're going to team up with a local business here in town. They're called Poppin' Off Toys. They sell Funko, so we're thinking about doing like a wrestling Funko giveaway in honor of our awesome new Funko shirts you can buy at Territory Wrestling Tees. Me and Eli are now Funkos. You can buy us in the box or outside the box on a t-shirt.
One is my version. I don't take my stuff out of, well, I take some stuff out of the box. A lot of the stuff I keep in the box. And then there's the version where you take it out of the box. So
yeah. So there is the us as collectors versions, or as I like to now figure out as of last night, there's the Liam version, which I found out that my 3-year-old went into, I guess, the quote unquote man cave and ripped open several Funko boxes. One of them was a Goldberg, so I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, he was just playing.
So I chalk it up as it's a 3-year-old and he sees them as toys. He doesn't see them as dad's collectibles. Yeah. So that's all in a nutshell. So that's it. We're back though. We're here and we're going to be talking wrestling, or what lack of wrestling. We're probably just going to talk about AEW more than likely.
Yeah.
So enjoy your week. Is there anything else you'd like to say to everybody?
Man, I don't think so. I think everything on my list we checked off, so I think we're good.
Is it time to say happy trails?
Arrivederci.
I've missed saying happy trails.
I know. I mean, it kind of fits you now, so.
Happy trails, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Battleground Podcast. Make sure you give it 5 stars and a nice review. To stay up to date with the show, follow them at Battleground Podcast on Instagram.